Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fans, if you have issues, some problems with yours and need to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or favorite dealer, Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, is back again this week. Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining us on this holiday weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Always always a pleasure. I was looking at the forecast, listening to it, and hearing Paul Douglas talking about we may not even get enough snow for a white Christmas. A lot of people are saying, yeah, that's great. I know there's a downside to it for a lot of folks. Driving, I guess, would be a positive thing. But temperature, I'm looking at some actually some texts, Nick. As you know, we like to save texts that we didn't get to from previous shows to help folks out. So some of these are related to warmer climate, warmer weather. But let me give our phone number. It's also our text number. And if you have any kind of a car care question, and don't wait. Nick takes his leave about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a problem with your vehicle, we'd love to hear from you. Nick will give it a shot to kind of analyze it over the air. The number to call or text 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. 9226. Here's one of those I was mentioning, and I know we've talked about this over the years, about not cleaning under the hood. Is it a good idea, as you know, just as a homeowner or a do-it-yourselfer, I should say, to try to clean off the engine, that whole compartment here? What would you recommend? Of course, in a warmer temperatures, But what would you suggest? I know you guys do it at Lloyd's.
You know, it's not overly complicated, but like you allude to there, you need to be careful on where you're sending water. You know, whenever we do an engine repair where we're getting oil and other fluids all over some of the engine's components or covers, we like to clean it up so it looks as good as it can upon completion. But if you send too much water in the wrong spot, you know, there's a lot of electrical items. The air intake, there's some things we want to be careful of. So if you're going to, I think we've talked in the past, casually rinse off, you know, in the summer months with a garden hose and just kind of rinse things off, that's probably fine. I wouldn't take a pressure washer to it, especially if you don't know where you're sending that water. And, you know, kind of wipe it down. If you have the capability of having a compressor or some air, you can kind of blow things off, wipe it down, and, you know, really the cosmetic thing that makes things look fresh and new.
I've seen videos, and you probably have as well, about some people using some sort of, I don't know, a degreaser or some kind of detergent or something to get rid of that greasy film on there. Would you recommend doing that or what?
Well, we do use those degreasers. You know, a lot of oil can build up and create some sludge and some substance that needs more than just water. But keep in mind when you're using that, rinsing that, that's hitting the floor and going somewhere. So if you have a, a drain or a way of containing and cleaning that up, you know, that's, you know, once again, you know, make sure you do your research. Just don't go into it blindly. But you don't want that all over your garage. You don't want that all over your yard. So I would caution somebody to kind of think ahead a little bit before they go ahead and go down that road.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. You have a question for Nick about your car, your truck, your van. In fact, there's a related text that came in this morning. And I think it's a good question about after taking a car to a car wash, and we have a question about washing your car, too, in sub-zero temperatures, what does a person do to prevent doors and windows from freezing up? I think it's a good question.
It is. I, you know, year-round, actually, if I run through the car wash, I usually have a towel in my vehicle. I can quickly wipe things down. There's, you know, my truck is big, and the blow dryer doesn't hit all the spots, so I like to get those water droplets before they become water spots. But in the winter months, for sure, that door jamb, that rubber seal, make sure you wipe that down. You know, same thing before the windows or the window channel. You're not going to get all the water, but it'd be good to get most of it. And my other thing, too, I'd say is, if it's possible, if you're going to wash your vehicle, make sure you're driving it for a bit before you head home. You know, give the chance for the heat of the vehicle to dry things out. If you hop to the car wash and you live a block away, go park it outside, you're more likely to have problems with things freezing up.
You know, I do once in a while when I found myself locked or a tough time opening it. I give that door an open and close, not slamming it, but to operate the all the doors after it's frozen. And again, I see temperatures moderating this coming week, so that may be moot. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call. I think Tom's calling in from Dayton this morning. Tom, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
A 2015 Dodge Durango 3.6. When I start it up in the morning, the RPMs go right up to 1,500 RPM. Would that be correct?
On a cold start, engines will run a little bit higher to get into a closed loop. We're trying to get everything warmed up, oxygen sensors and all the emission systems. So to have it run at a higher RPM for a few moments on a cold start would be normal. Then I would assume it would come down to that 800-900 RPM, which would be a typical idle.
And as you know, Nick, every season this time of year, we always get questioned about how long do I leave my car running during the winter?
You know, the car doesn't care. You know, you start the vehicle. Within a few moments, most of the lubricants have worked their way through. They've become more fluid. They're working, so they're fine. They're designed to work in colder temps. It's more of our comfort, you know, the cold seat, the cold steering wheel. We need to make sure the windows are clear. But keep in mind, you don't want to start your vehicle and let it run unattended. Someone can take it. And, you know, it uses more fuel. So, you know, we're becoming more conscious about fuel economy and being wasteful and letting the car sit outside and run for several minutes or longer. Doesn't benefit the vehicle. It just burns more fuel, which also then affects our fuel economy. So keep that in mind. A few moments is one thing. Many minutes is probably not the right plan.
Yeah, middle ground. All right. I tell you what, I'm getting a signal here, Nick. We're going to take a quick break. You'll be right back. We have more questions to get answered here. Any kind of a car care question, let's hear it. As I said, Nick takes his leave about 7:45. Our time goes by rather quickly. So call us or text us either way, 651-461-9226. We're talking cars problems this morning, as we always do for many years here, in 830-WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back at it, along with Nick Stoffel, who happens to be an ASE-certified technician, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, as usual, we like to tell folks if they need some help, they've got some issues with their car, their truck, their van, and they want some help from Lloyd's. How do we find you guys?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, need a little more advice before you take it into your dealership or shop, feel free to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be walking along Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, yellow brick building, green awnings. And I'd really appreciate it if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info before you leave this morning, which is about 7:45. You have problems with your vehicle, call us or text us. Number is 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Nick, a 2019 Ram 1500 four-wheel drive does not engage. The light blinks and eventually says service four-wheel drive. Oops, it just jumped. We just got a hold on a second. We're getting all of a sudden a ton of them jumped in and moved on the screen there. And sometimes the texter says it eventually does engage. Do you think this is a big repair?
Possibly not. There's an actuator, like a little encoder motor is what we call it, that when you turn the switch to go from two or auto to four high or four low, that motor down at the transfer case, those gears change the setting inside the transfer case. So it's possible there might be something with that motor that's not allowing it to get into four-wheel drive. So I would probably have that looked at before we do get snow, because you don't want to be without the four-wheel drive when that happens. But it probably isn't like a major transfer case or something significant. You know, I would hope it'd be just a motor or maybe even some sort of connection issue.
Another texter, we're getting a bunch of them, Nick. What is, texter says, the first thing to go bad on a hybrid car? Hybrid car. Some people say hybrid.
I don't think there's a first thing necessarily. Honestly, I think most of the hybrid vehicles are pretty well designed, just as our conventional combustion engines have been for years. They've been integrated very well. They've been around for 20 years. I mean, so I wouldn't say that there's a particular component, you know, the battery or the inverter or none of those items that I would say is super common. So I wouldn't, if you're contemplating, I wouldn't hesitate from buying a hybrid vehicle. I think that it's a good technology. It helps with fuel economy and emissions, and it's a good step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of related texts, Nick. This one says, good morning. You're talking about cold car care. What care should be taken for stored vehicles? Texter has a car parked in his heated garage, covered. Oil was changed prior to storing. Anything else I should be doing while it is still spring, still relatively warm? What do you think as far as storage? And then the other related one is the vehicle sits too. What can happen if a vehicle sits too long without driving? You can feel both of those if you would.
Absolutely. So the first texter mentions that a controlled climate, they're just fine. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about much of anything. You're not worried about the extreme cold, which can be very hard on a battery. So if it's in a moderately controlled temperatured garage, I think fresh fluids, tires are topped off, the battery's good and strong, I think you'll be fine. If it's in a outside environment, I would consider maybe getting one of those maintainers on the battery, because if the battery gets cold and freezes, that'll cause it to fail and need to replace the battery. So depending on where the vehicle's stored, I might approach that differently. If a car sits too long, and it depends what too long is, but things like the battery is not being cycled and charged, your brakes, because those brake rotors are bare metal, can get rusty and they can create corrosion and rust and pitting. You know, the exhaust, I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. So if you're a listener that, you know, doesn't drive as much as you used to, what I like to tell people is that periodically, you know, if you're just doing the grocery store and small errands in your community, every so often I wouldn't mind if you took the long way to the grocery store. So instead of going point A to point B, maybe take a loop to get a few extra miles, allow the vehicle to fully warm up, allow for the exhaust to clear all that moisture out to prevent any excessive rusting, let the brakes heat up, clean up those brake rotors, allow the battery to get fully charged. So you don't have to do it all the time, but every several trips, it wouldn't hurt to take the long way on your way to your grocery store or wherever you're headed.
And like you guys have said in the past many times, vehicles are meant to be driven, right?
Absolutely. And we rely on them. and we, as we should, but like if you're going to let it sit there for a week or two at a time, you're slowly deteriorating some of these systems, which is going to cost for more repair. So, like I said, you don't have to go way out of your way, but it wouldn't hurt to take the long way every so often.
Very good. I know we have to break for weather here in a moment, but let's grab another text. This texter says, I have a 2014 Toyota Camry, 77,000 miles on it. The tires were replaced on November 7th this year at a small shop. On Thursday, while driving south on 35, the tire pressure sensor popped while driving 70 miles an hour. I had been driving nearly an hour. The closest place to stop was Faribault. The truck stop had a faulty air hose, so I was sent to a station where the air hose was stolen. I have a Halo Bolt portable air compressor battery charger, so I used that at both stations. The sensor popped on again in Lakeville, so I exited 35 as soon as I could in Bloomington, got myself home. The small shop was closed yesterday. Any ideas about what's going on with that tire or tire sensor?
Well, you know, I'd be careful of just adding air. You know, sometimes these sensors, it's a 14, so like the car has a few years on it, 9, 10, maybe even 10 years before since it was made. There's batteries in those sensors, and it's possible that maybe one of the sensors is misreading. So if you have a gauge or way of checking the actual pressures, you know, I understand when you're in a pinch, do you do what you need to do? You kind of look at the four tires and kind of gauge which one looks low, add a little bit of air. I get it. That's what I would probably do myself. But you don't want to keep adding air assuming that the sensor is reading correctly, because if you have a faulty sensor, you're going to overinflate those tires. So I would, you know, take it to the shop when you can hear this early next week. They'll check all the pressures, try to determine which position it is, and determine if, like, if it was really low and you're losing air, there's a leak somewhere, or is one of those sensors faulty, giving you the misleading information that you think you have a low tire. So I would caution, and if you need to use the vehicle, walk around, look at all four tires. If they look similar, I guess maybe I wouldn't be overly concerned for the weekend, but if one looks like it's getting lower, then I would probably be careful going too far.
Yeah, get it checked. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a bit of a break here. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive will be with us for about another 10, 12 minutes or so. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Got to see you here in probably less than 2 weeks, Nick. Those oil changes seem to come around pretty fast, but you got to keep it doing, right? I mean, that's actually, overall, it's pretty cheap maintenance, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. If we follow that maintenance schedule, do our oil changes at a regular schedule, I assure you over the life of the vehicle, it will save you money versus the cost of the repair. I understand that our time is very limited and our schedules are very full and it's the holidays and we all have very, very full schedules. So make sure you get on the phone with your shop, get your appointment. Many shops are running a couple weeks behind, so it gives you a little time to plan ahead. But try to get that in on the schedule before you have to travel for the next holiday session here with Christmas and New Year's and all that coming up. So just make sure you're planning ahead the best you can.
Very good. Good advice. Texter says this, Nick, a 2014 Chevy Silverado 1500 seems to shift too quickly, be 20 and 30 miles an hour. It stumbles. Texter says, if I shift manually, no problem. What do you think?
Well, I guess I'd like to drive it or have, you know, write that down, take it to your shop, have them drive it. They can drive it with a scan tool, collect some data to see when those solenoids are operating. You know, an automatic transmission is using pressurized fluid, and it's creating passages that allow it to switch gears. So if one of those solenoids is hesitant or if there's an issue with the way that's happening, it could cause a delay in the shift or a harsh shift. Sometimes it can have a little bit of a lag So I would probably have someone look at it. I wouldn't start adding any additives or changing any of the fluid or anything like that yet. I'd have some, have a professional drive it with the scan tool, collect that data, try to get a little bit of information before we start attempting some sort of repair.
Okay. We still have time. We have a few minutes remaining. If you have, we do have some texts we'll get to. Our phone number happens to also be your text number, 651-461-9226. Why does, question is, 2024 Equinox need to cover the turbo in cold weather? And another question is, what is considered cold? Well, we know what's considered cold here. I haven't heard about this issue. Is that true, Nick, about covering the turbo?
I'm not sure what they're alluding to. Now, obviously, as vehicles are designed, they do use a lot of insulation and protection to keep things from freezing up, I suppose. But, you know, the turbos have been around forever. They've been subjected to both extremes, hot and cold. So I don't know in this specific issue if there's something that's like a recall or bulletin. But as far as too cold, you know, it's funny because when you look in the owner's manual and it used to talk about different types of fluids and temperatures, I think when you get down below freezing on a regular, consistent basis, which we do in our climate, that's considered cold. So obviously, when we get sub-zero, that's an extreme. But I think as far as vehicles go, when they're talking about cold weather, they're talking about sub-freezing, so you get below 32 degrees Fahrenheit at a sustained time, which we will hear soon for a while. And so I would say that's what they would measure as that. And once again, as far as covering a turbo, I'm not aware of any additional remedy or need there.
Okay. Interesting question here concerning a 2016 Ford Explorer. This is a smell question. 62,000 miles on it. Lately, it's been smelling really, really bad, like the exhaust really stinks. And I'm wondering if it isn't that sulfur smell. They're referring to maybe it's a catalytic converter issue. Could that be that kind of a smell? Could it be coming from that?
Could be. You get that strong eggy sulfur smell. There could be something going with the converter. There could also be something going with one of the oxygen sensors that's measuring the amount of oxygen in the exhaust, which is the environment where that converter runs. So if one of the sensors isn't reading properly, or misreading, I should say, the fuel adjustments in the engine can be as such that it could cause it to overwork that converter, which can give off that smell. So if you're noticing a couple clues that you have this bad smell, if there's any idling or starting concerns, fuel economy's changed, I'd probably get that into your shop, have them do a little diagnosis there to see what's going on.
Okay. This texter says this, Nick, the dealer forgot to tighten the oil filter. How do I get oil, a huge spill, off my garage floor? Well, you guys there at Lloyd's have to deal with that once in a while. You hope not to, but you try not to. But what do you guys do? How do you clean up an oil spill on a garage floor?
You know, it's the nature of any business. Mishaps happen. Sometimes the seals don't seal as they should. You can get a little bit of a fluid leak. Even outside of a maintenance or repair, as cars age, they can develop a leak. So if you end up with any kind of oil on your garage floor, kitty litter will work, so if you have that readily available, that is easily attained. You put it on there, or the floor dryer, the oil absorbent stuff, and you can let it soak. Let it sit there. Give it a day, maybe, if it's in an environment where it's not going to get any water on it. You can walk on it a little bit, so it'll kind of pull most of that from the cement, and then you can sweep up and dispose of it. At that point, you can take a little bit of soap, a little bit of water, kind of scrub it if it's a small area. That should do a pretty good job. You know, will it be a foolproof? Maybe not. But I think with using that absorbent to pull as much oil as possible, using like a Dawn detergent or something that will break down the oil with a little soap and water, should do the rest of it. And in those situations, obviously, we have different products at our shop because we scrub our floors nightly, but Donda soap, little kitty litter, is probably the best for a do-it-yourselfer.
Okay, very good. Here is a 2014 Impala. Doesn't have any issues. Got 89,000 miles on it. Their question is, when shall I flush the radiator? So how often do you change, you know, the fluid in a cooling system in a 2014 vehicle?
Well, if it hasn't been done yet, I understand it's low on mileage, but based on time, you're getting close to 10 years, I think it's probably due. For anyone, the next time you're in for maintenance, it's getting to be the cold season. We always like to talk about batteries and antifreeze. I would tell you, when you go in for your next service, have them test the coolant. They're going to test it for protection level. They're also going to take a look at the condition, even smell it, quite honestly. And if it's getting discolored, collecting a bit of a smell, we might be getting some breaking down of the coolant, which means it's not lubricating and maybe protecting all those components as it should. And it'd be time to do it. If your car is going to be pushing 10 years old, I think it's probably getting close time to do it. Most vehicles, maintenance intervals, it's in the high tens of thousands. You know, pushing 100,000 miles on that regular service. So if you haven't had that done, check the owner's manual, check your records, and that might be another maintenance item you want to get taken care of the next time you're going for repair.
Yeah, good advice. Nick, we have to run here. Make way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. For those folks that maybe need some help from you and your crews at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you?
Yeah, no problem. If you have a question, need any advice, please don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're ever on Grand Avenue, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And if you don't mind, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. I hope you enjoy the rest of the holiday with you and your family. And let's do this again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Denny.
You bet. Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead, followed by, in the 8 o'clock hour, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney talking lawns and gardens. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Vans, if you have issues, some problems with yours and need to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or favorite dealer, Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, is back again this week. Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining us on this holiday weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Always always a pleasure. I was looking at the forecast, listening to it, and hearing Paul Douglas talking about we may not even get enough snow for a white Christmas. A lot of people are saying, yeah, that's great. I know there's a downside to it for a lot of folks. Driving, I guess, would be a positive thing. But temperature, I'm looking at some, actually some text, Nick, as you know, we like to save text that we didn't get to from previous shows to help folks out. So some of these are related to warmer climate, warmer weather. But give our phone number. It's also our text number. And if you have any kind of a car care question, and don't wait. Nick takes his leave about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a problem with your vehicle, we'd love to hear from you. Nick, we'll give it a shot to kind of analyze it over the air. The number to call or text 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Here's one of those I was mentioning, and I know we've talked about this over the years, about not cleaning under the hood. Is it a good idea, as you know, just as a homeowner or do-it-yourselfer, I should say, to try to clean off the engine, that whole compartment? What would you recommend? Of course, in a warmer temperatures, but what would you suggest? I know you guys do it at Lloyd's.
You know, it's not overly complicated, but like you allude to there, you need to be careful on where you're sending water. You know, whenever we do an engine repair where we're getting oil and other fluids all over some of the engine components or covers, we like to clean it up so it looks as good as it can upon completion. But if you send too much water in the wrong spot, you know, there's a lot of electrical items, the air intake, there's some things we want to be careful of. So if you're going to, I think we've talked in the past, casually rinse off, you know, in the summer months with the garden hose and just kind of rinse things off, that's probably fine. I wouldn't take a pressure washer to it, especially if you don't know where you're sending that water. And, you know, kind of wipe it down. If you have the capability of having a compressor, some air, you can kind of blow things off, wipe it down, and, you know, really it's a cosmetic thing to make things look fresh and new.
I've seen videos, and you probably have as well, about some people using some sort of, I don't know, a degreaser or some kind of detergent or something to get rid of that greasy film on there. Would you recommend doing that or what?
Well, we do use those degreasers. You know, a lot of oil can build up and create some sludge and some substance that needs more than just water. But keep in mind, when you're using that and rinsing that, that's hitting the floor and going somewhere. So if you have a drain or a way of containing and cleaning that up, you know, that's, you know, once again, you know, make sure you do your research. Just don't go into it blindly. But you don't want that all over your garage. You don't want that all over your yard. So I would caution somebody to kind of think ahead a little bit before they go down that road.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. You have a question for Nick about your car, your truck, your van. In fact, there's a related text that came in this morning, and I think it's a good question, about after taking a car to a car wash, and we have a question about washing your car, too, in sub-zero temperatures, what does a person do to prevent doors and windows from freezing up? I think it's a good question.
It is. I, you know, year-round, actually, if I run through the car wash, I usually have a towel in my vehicle. I can quickly wipe things down. There's, you know, my truck is big and the blow dryer doesn't hit all the spots, so I like to get those water droplets before they become water spots. But in the winter months, for sure, that door jam, that rubber seal, make sure you wipe that down. You know, same thing before the windows and the window channel. You're not going to get all the water, but it'd be good to get most of it. And my other thing, too, I'd say is, if it's possible, if you're going to wash your vehicle, make sure you're driving it for a bit before you head home. You know, give the chance for the heat of the vehicle to dry things out. If you hop to the car wash and you live a block away, go park it outside, you're more likely to have problems with things freezing up.
You know, I do once in a while when I found myself locked or a tough time opening it. I give that door an open and close, not slamming it, but to operate the all the doors after it's frozen. And again, I see temperatures moderating this coming week, so that may be moot. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call. I think Tom's calling in from Dayton this morning. Tom, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
A 2015 Dodge Durango 3.6. When I start it up in the morning, the RPMs go right up to 1,500 RPM. Would that be correct?
On a cold start, engines will run a little bit higher to get into a closed loop. We're trying to get everything warmed up, the oxygen sensors and all the emission systems. So to have it run at a higher RPM for a few moments on a cold start would be normal.
then I would assume it would come down to that 800-900 RPM, which would be a typical idle.
And as you know, Nick, every season at this time of year, we always get a question about how long do I leave my car running during the winter?
You know, the car doesn't care. You know, you start the vehicle, within a few moments, most of the lubricants have worked their way through. They've become more fluid. They're working, so they're fine. They're designed to work in colder temps. It's more of our comfort, you know, the cold seat, the cold steering wheel. We need to make sure the windows are clear. But keep in mind, you don't want to start your vehicle and let it run unattended. Someone can take it. And, you know, it uses more fuel. So, you know, we're becoming more conscious about fuel economy and being wasteful and letting the car sit outside and run for several minutes or longer. Doesn't benefit the vehicle. It just burns more fuel, which also then affects our fuel economy. So keep that in mind. A few moments is one thing. Many minutes is probably not the right plan.
Yeah, middle ground. All right. I tell you what, I'm getting a signal here, Nick. We're going to take a quick break. You'll be right back. We have more questions to get answered here. Any kind of a car care question, let's hear it. As I said, Nick takes his leave about 7:45. Our time goes by rather quickly. So call us or text us either way, 651-461-9226. We're talking cars problems this morning, as we always do for many years here, in 830-WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you, Denny Long, back at it, along with Nick Stoffel, who happens to be an ASC-certified technician and runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, as usual, we like to tell folks if they need some help, they've got some issues with their car, their truck, their van, and they want some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, need a little more advice before you take it into your dealership or shop, feel free to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be walking along Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, yellow brick building, green awnings. And I'd really appreciate it if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info before you leave this morning, which is about 7:45. You have problems with your vehicle, call us or text us. Number is 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Nick, a 2019 Ram 1500 four-wheel drive does not engage. The light blinks and eventually says service four-wheel drive. Oops, it just jumped. Hold on a second. We're getting all of a sudden a ton of them jumped and it moved on the screen there. And sometimes the texter says it eventually does engage. Do you think this is a big repair?
Possibly not. There's an actuator, like a little encoder motor is what we call it, that when you turn the switch to go from two or auto to four high or four low, that motor down at the transfer case, those gears change the setting inside the transfer case. So it's possible there might be something with that motor that's not allowing it to get into four-wheel drive. So I would probably have that looked at before we do get snow, because you don't want to be without the four-wheel drive when that happens. But it probably isn't like a major transfer case or something significant. You know, I would hope that'd be just a motor or maybe even some sort of connection issue.
Another texter, we're getting a bunch of them, Nick. What is, texter says, the first thing to go bad on a hybrid car? Hybrid car. Some people say hybrid.
I don't think there's a first thing necessarily. Honestly, I think most of the hybrid vehicles are pretty well designed, just as our conventional combustion engines have been for years. They've been integrated very well. They've been around for 20 years. I mean, so I wouldn't say that there's a particular component, you know, the battery or the inverter or none of those items that I would say is super common. So I wouldn't, if you're contemplating, I wouldn't hesitate from buying a hybrid vehicle. I think that it's a good technology. It helps with fuel economy and emissions, and it's a good step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of related texts, Nick. This one says, Good morning. You're talking about cold car care. What care should be taken for stored vehicles? Texter has a car parked in his heated garage, covered. Oil was changed prior to storing. Anything else I should be doing while it is still spring, still relatively warm? What do you think as far as storage? And then the other related one is the vehicle sits too. What can happen if a vehicle sits too long without driving? You can feel both of those if you would.
Absolutely. So the first texter mentions that a controlled climate, they're just fine. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about much of anything. You're not worried about the extreme cold, which can be very hard on a battery. So if it's in a moderately controlled temperature garage, I think fresh fluids, tires are chopped off, the battery's good and strong, I think you'll be fine. If it's in a outside environment, I would consider maybe getting one of those maintainers on the battery, because if the battery gets cold and freezes, that'll cause it to fail and need to replace the battery. So depending on where the vehicle's stored, I might approach that differently. If a car sits too long, and it depends what too long is, but things like the battery is not being cycled and charged, your brakes, because those brake rotors are bare metal, can get rusty, and they can create corrosion and rust and pitting. You know, the exhaust, I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. So if you're a listener that, you know, doesn't drive as much as you used to, what I like to tell people is that periodically, you know, if you're just doing the grocery store and small errands in your community, every so often I wouldn't mind if you took the long way to the grocery store. So instead of going point A to point B, maybe take a loop to get a few extra miles, allow the vehicle to fully warm up, allow for the exhaust to clear all that moisture out to prevent any excessive rusting, let the brakes heat up, clean up those brake rotors, allow the battery to get fully charged. So you don't have to do it all the time, but every several trips, it wouldn't hurt to take the long way on your way to your grocery store or wherever you're headed.
And like you guys have said in the past many times, vehicles are meant to be driven, right?
Absolutely. And we always we rely on them, and as we should. But like, if you're going to let it sit there for a week or two at a time, you're slowly deteriorating some of these systems, which is going to cause for more repair. So like I said, you don't have to go way out of your way, but it wouldn't hurt to take the long way every so often.
Very good. I know we have to break for weather here in a moment, but let's grab another text. This texter says, I have a 2014 Toyota Camry, 77,000 miles on it. The tires were replaced on November 7th this year at a small shop. On Thursday, while driving south on 35, the tire pressure sensor popped while driving 70 miles an hour. I had been driving nearly an hour. The closest place to stop was Faribault. The truck stop had a faulty air hose, so I was sent to a station where the air hose was stolen. I have a Halo Bolt portable air compressor battery charger, so I used that at both stations. The sensor popped on again in Lakeville, so I exited 35 as soon as I could in Bloomington, got myself home. The small shop was closed yesterday. Any ideas about what's going on with that tire or tire sensor?
Well, you know, I'd be careful of just adding air. You know, sometimes these sensors, it's a 14, so like the car has a few years on it, it's 9, 10, maybe even 10 years before since it was made. There's batteries in those sensors, and it's possible that maybe one of the sensors is misreading. So if you have a gauge or way of checking the actual pressures, you know, I understand when you're in a pinch, you do what you need to do. You kind of look at the Ford tires and kind of gauge which one looks low, add a little bit of air. I get it. That's what I would probably do myself. But you don't want to keep adding air assuming that the sensor is reading correctly, because if you have a faulty sensor, you're going to overinflate those tires. So I would, you know, take it to the shop when you can, hear this early next week. They'll check all the pressures, try to determine which position it is, and determine if, like, if it was really low and you're losing air, there's a leak somewhere, or is one of those sensors faulty, giving you the misleading information that you think you have a low tire. So I would caution, and if you need to use the vehicle, walk around, look at all four tires. If they look similar, I guess maybe I wouldn't be overly concerned for the weekend. But if one looks like it's getting lower, then I would probably be careful going too far.
Yeah, get it checked. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a bit of a break here. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive will be with us for about another 10, 12 minutes or so. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Got to see you here in probably less than 2 weeks, Nick. Those oil changes seem to come around pretty fast, but you got to keep it doing, right? I mean, that's overall, it's pretty cheap maintenance, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. If we follow that maintenance schedule, do our oil changes at a regular schedule, I assure you over the life of the vehicle, it will save you money versus the cost of the repair. I understand that our time is very limited and our schedules are very full and it's the holidays and we all have very, very full schedules. So make sure you get on the phone with your shop, get your appointment. Many shops are running a couple weeks behind, so it gives you a little time to plan ahead. But try to get that in on the schedule before you have to travel for the next holiday session here with Christmas and New Year's and all that coming up. So just make sure you're planning ahead the best you can.
Very good. Good advice. Texter says this, Nick, a 2014 Chevy Silverado 1500 seems to shift too quickly, be 20 and 30 miles an hour. It stumbles. Texter says, if I shift manually, no problem. What do you think?
Well, I guess I'd like to drive it or have, you know, write that down, take it to your shop, have them drive it. They can drive it with a scan tool, collect some data to see when those solenoids are operating. You know, an automatic transmission is using pressurized fluid, and it's creating passages that allow it to switch gears. So if one of those solenoids is hesitant or if there's an issue with the way that's happening, it could cause a delay in the shift or a harsh shift. Sometimes it can have a little bit of a lag. So I would probably have someone look at it. I wouldn't start adding any additives or changing any of the fluid or anything like that yet. I'd have a professional drive it with the scan tool, collect that data, try to get a little bit of information before we start attempting some sort of repair.
Okay. We still have time. We have a few minutes remaining. If you have, we do have some texts we'll get to. Our phone number happens to also be your text number, 651-461-9226. Why does, question is, 2024 Equinox need to cover the turbo in cold weather? And another question is, what is considered cold? Well, we know what's considered cold here. I haven't heard about this issue. Is that true, Nick, about covering the turbo?
I'm not sure what they're alluding to. Now, obviously, as vehicles are designed, they do use a lot of insulation and protection to keep things from freezing up, I suppose. But, you know, the turbos have been around forever. And they've been subjected to both extremes, hot and cold. So I don't know in the specific issue if there's something that's like a recall or bulletin. But as far as too cold, you know, it's funny because when you look in the owner's manual and it used to talk about different types of fluids and temperatures, I think when you get down below freezing on a regular, consistent basis, which we do in our climate, that's considered cold. So obviously when we get sub-zero, that's an extreme. But I think as far as vehicles go, when they're talking about cold weather, they're talking about sub-freezing. So when you get below 32 degrees Fahrenheit at a sustained time, which we will hear soon for a while. And so I would say that's what they would measure as that. And once again, as far as covering a turbo, I'm not aware of any additional remedy or need there.
Okay. Interesting question here concerning a 2016 Ford Explorer. This is a smell question. 62,000 miles on it. Lately, it's been smelling really, really bad, like the exhaust really stinks, and I'm wondering if it isn't that sulfur smell they're referring to. Maybe it's a catalytic converter issue. Could that be that kind of a smell? Could it be coming from that?
It could be. You get that strong, eggy, sulfur smell There could be something going with the converter. There could also be something going with one of the oxygen sensors that's measuring the amount of oxygen in the exhaust, which is the environment where that converter runs. So if one of the sensors isn't reading properly, or misreading, I should say, the fuel adjustments in the engine can be as such that it could cause it to overwork that converter, which can give off that smell. So if you're noticing a couple clues that you have this bad smell, if there's any idling or starting concerns, fuel economy's changed, I'd probably get that into your shop, have them do a little diagnosis there to see what's going on.
Okay. This texter says this, Nick, the dealer forgot to tighten the oil filter. How do I get oil, a huge spill, off my garage floor? Well, you guys there at Lloyd's have to deal with that once in a while. You hope not to, but you try not to. But what do you guys do? How do you clean up an oil spill on a garage floor?
You know, it's the nature of any business. Mishaps happen. Sometimes the seals don't seal as they should. You can get a little bit of a fluid leak. Even outside of a maintenance or repair, as cars age, they can develop a leak. So if you end up with any kind of oil on your garage floor, kitty litter will work. So if you have that readily available, that is easily attained. You put it on there or the floor dryer, the oil absorbent stuff, and you can let it soak. Let it sit there. Give it a day maybe if it's in an environment where it's not going to get any water on it. You can walk on it a little bit so it'll kind of pull most of that from the cement, and then you can sweep up and dispose of it. At that point, you can take a little bit of soap, a little bit of water, kind of scrub it if it's a small area. That should do a pretty good job. You know, will it be a foolproof? Maybe not, but I think with using that absorbent to pull as much oil as possible, using like a Dawn detergent or something that'll break down the oil with a little soap and water, should do the rest of it. In those situations, obviously, we have different products at our shop because we scrub our floors nightly. But Dawn does soap, little kitty litter is probably the best for a do-it-yourselfer.
Okay, very good. Here is a 2014 Impala. Doesn't have any issues. Got 89,000 miles on it. Their question is, when shall I flush the radiator? So how often do you change the fluid in a cooling system in a 2014 vehicle?
Well, if it hasn't been done yet, I understand it's low on mileage, but based on time, you're getting close to 10 years, I think it's probably due. For anyone, the next time you're in for maintenance, it's getting to be the cold season. We always like to talk about batteries and antifreeze. I would tell you when you go in for your next service, have them test the coolant. They're going to test it for protection level. We're also going to take a look at the condition, even smell it, quite honestly. And if it's getting discolored, collecting a bit of a smell, we might be getting some breaking down of the coolant, which means it's not lubricating and maybe protecting all those components as it should. And it'd be time to do it. If your car is going to be pushing 10 years old, I think it's probably getting close time to do it. Most vehicles, maintenance intervals, it's in the high tens of thousands. You know, pushing 100,000 miles on that regular service. So if you haven't had that done, check the owner's manual, check your records, and that might be another maintenance item you want to get taken care of the next time you're going for repair.
Yeah, good advice. Nick, we have to run here, make way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. For those folks that maybe need some help from you and your crews at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you?
Yeah, no problem. If you have a question, need any advice, please don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're ever on Grand Avenue, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And if you don't mind, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. I hope you enjoy the rest of the holiday with you and your family. And let's do this again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Denny.
You bet. Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead, followed by in the 8 o'clock hour, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney talking lawns and gardens. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.